Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I was chatting with Brian Massard, the former Montana Stock Growers Association president. He's got Reminis Angus Ranch down in Dillon, and this big debanking story that you've probably seen on our Montana Talks website if you didn't hear me talk about it earlier in the week. Anyway, I was chatting with Brian Massard, talking about ag financing, debanking, et cetera. And then we got a great phone call from Montana's Eastern District Congressman Troy Downing. If you go to x.com/Aaron Flint, you can actually see the full audio. Great response from Congressman Downing on what the Trump administration and Republicans in Congress are doing right now to address that very issue when it comes to access to capital. Speaking of Congressman Downing, he's now with us as he is joining us live from the Montana Petroleum Association annual meeting taking place in Billings. Congressman Downing, I'll bet you people are a lot more optimistic at the MPA today than they were maybe a year or two ago.
Well, I'm going to tell you, and I said this when I gave my opening remarks, we will never see a more pro-energy administration than what we're seeing right now. And the things that President Trump and Congress have been doing, making sure that we are unleashing American energy, and we're talking across the board, you know, oil and gas, we're talking coal, we're talking, you know, across the board. And I think it's incredibly meaningful because one of the biggest contributors for quality of life for a Montanan or American is having reliable and affordable energy. And we're just making huge strides. But one thing I want to mention really quick, you know, when I called in yesterday, thank you for having me on 2 days in a row. I feel honored. When I was talking to you about the issues on debanking that Massard was running into, I mean, that's an issue that we're solving here with the energy sector as well. And, you know, I talked about this a bunch when I was the state auditor, because we saw a lot of these insurance companies that had these woke reinsurers that did not want to write policies in the energy sector. They didn't want to write, you know, oil and gas policies. And so that combined with capital markets shutting down financing oil and gas companies, it effectively shuts down an industry that the other side wanted to shut down without having to go through the front door. And so I'll tell you, the work that we're doing in Congress and the work that this administration is doing on making sure that we are knocking down those roadblocks that, you know, the capital markets and everything else is doing to try to shut down industry they don't like is incredibly meaningful. So now the energy sector is just poised to, you know, to thrive. And
that's right.
That's not just an issue, for my district. It's not just an issue for Montana. It's a national security issue. It's a quality of life issue. And it's a driver for building the American dream.
Energy security is national security. Yeah, and we heard that optimism from Sonny Capice, who is the executive director of the Montana Petroleum Association. He joined us from that Western Congressional Caucus Summit in Whitefish last week. And, yeah, that's exactly what they did, just like they leveraged financial institution and regulatory agencies to go after gun businesses. They thought, let's do the same for oil, gas, and coal. Oh, let's do the same to those ranchers that they don't like as well. All right, stand by. Quick break. More to follow with Congressman Troy Downing joining us live from the Montana Petroleum Association annual meeting. Back right after this.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We've got another guest joining us here in about 10 minutes talking about the big topic of foreign truck drivers. So that's going to be an interesting conversation. But sneaking on Congressman Troy Downing here from the Eastern Congressional District for a quick few minutes here. Congressman, I saw you've got a guest opinion column in the Billings Gazette this morning about expanding access to capital for rural job creators. And that just got me thinking, you know, when we look at Montana, you've got the Flatheads, the Gallatins, the Billings, the Missoulas that have gotten inundated with people, inundated with, if you want to call it, economic development. But our rural areas, that's where we need this this economic development right now. And that's why everything we're talking about with oil, gas, coal, and ag is so critical here.
Yeah, we need to revitalize rural America. We need to revitalize rural Montana. And, you know, that there's so many factors. and so many consequences of not being able to build businesses or have access to raise capital from investors in frontier communities or small rural communities. And so that has, you know, so many issues in terms of people moving out of these small towns and them struggling to, you know, hire, you know, teachers, bring in doctors for critical access care hospitals, all the things that happen there. And it really, you know, bugged me coming out of my background of being an entrepreneur and raising money for building businesses, it's available in Silicon Valley. It's available in New York City. It's available in Bozeman. But what about those folks that are, you know, not in those big cities? How do they get access to that? So we passed a bill basically to start a program under the SEC to start monitoring and give resources to that so that we can have kids growing up in a rural community that have an idea, want to get it financed, and can build it and build into that community so that community thrives and doesn't, you know, see, you know, the biggest export we see in rural states and rural communities is exporting children. So how do we reverse that trend? So was really happy to get that through, got it, through committee. I think we got a unanimous through committee, got it through the floor. And so we're hoping to, you know, continue pushing that forward. So really, really excited about, you know, solving some of these problems, you know, that obviously we're seeing, you know, in a lot of, you know, the Eastern District. So that's a really good one.
Hey, you know, I saw, you know, talking about getting back to work when the Congress gets back in session. Of course, earlier this summer, you guys delivered on the One Big Beautiful Bill. So many things there. You delivered on a rescissions package. Now we're looking forward to seeing more cuts in federal spending, more rescission packages, and then one by one tackling these appropriation bills to peel back the debt and the deficit on that front as well. I can't remember who the congressman was, but I saw somebody was already doing a news story. Congress is going to try to avert a government shutdown. It's like it's only August. Let's project a little more confidence here that everybody's going to stick together and get the job done, right?
Well, we've continued to do that in this Congress. And, you know, we've had what I call the airing of grievances when we've got differences of opinion and they're hotly debated. But when it comes time to perform, we're actually getting the wins on the board. And I think that's incredibly important. And here's the reason. And I hope there's a lot of folks listening on this. If our conference maintains discipline and continues to work together and get these wins on board, I think we have a real opportunity to buck the trend and keep the majority at the midterms. And I think this is an unprecedented historical opportunity because the Democrats are chasing their tails. They're allowing the fringe of their party to run their narrative. And most of the rank and file, you know, Democrat voters are not supporting that narrative. So they're in trouble, have no leadership and no message. We're getting these wins and we have to be disciplined about this because even though we may not get 100% of what we want to do this Congress, if we can get the majority at the midterms, then that last 2 years is a transformative presidency. Trump, that'll be transformative because we can actually get the rest of what we want to get done. I think we get 110% of what's on our agenda if we can do that. And the alternative of not doing that is we're going to have 2 years of not only Maxine Waters chairing my committee, but of fighting Trump impeachments, because that's exactly what the Democrats are going to do if they get the gavel. So having, you know, this opportunity and being able to keep our conference together to be disciplined about what we do and staying together gives us an opportunity that I think is historically unprecedented. So I'm really excited about that. But to go to the message that you said, I just want to, you know, warm up your listeners here. September is going to be tumultuous because we've still got, I think 10 plus or minus appropriations bills to get through before, you know, funding ends at the end of September. And I just don't see, I think we can get a lot of those through. I just don't see us getting all of them through because there's still dissension among the ranks and the amount of time is so slow. But it's going to be a heavy workload this month. And I know that Andy Harris, who chairs the Freedom Caucus, has been already talking about doing a short-term CR to deal with that stuff. So we'll see what happens there. I mean, everybody hates CRs. The other thing is that puts the Democrats in a position on whether they agree to give time to get these appropriations bills through or if they take the step to shut down the government. Because if that government shuts down at the end of September, it is 100% on the backs of the Democrats.
Well, and of course, they would love to make something like that happen and then use the liberal media mob to try to blame it all on Republicans. And they've just become the party of chaos, really, as Stephen Miller has so accurately pointed out. Just look at the streets of D.C. and everything there. Congressman Troy Downing, great to have you on the show. Say hello to all our friends there at the MPA today. Good to have you on the program.
We do. We're missing you, but thank you for letting me be on the show again. You have a great day.
Appreciate it. You too. All right. Coming up in the second half of Montana Talk, starting around 9:35, we will have phone lines open for you, but stand by. We got a big topic coming up right after this. Eric Belford is the division administrator for motor carrier services here in Montana. So we're going to, what does MCS do? You've probably seen their flashing lights going down the road. What can they do to help protect against these non-English speaking truck drivers and other safety issues? Stand by. We'll chat with him next.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, we've been talking a lot about the issue of foreign truck drivers and non-English-speaking truck drivers in particular here on the show. Of course, this after that illegal alien driving a big rig allegedly killed three people while making an illegal U-turn back in Florida. And you know, as we bring up this topic of illegal aliens on our roadways and on our highways, as we talk about non-English-speaking truck drivers on our roadways, man, have we gotten a big response from our listeners, from our website readers, and from what truckers are telling us, from what folks across Montana are telling us, is like, hey, Montana is crawling with foreign truck drivers. And even though Montana has a lot of protections in place, and even though Montana is doing things the right way, hey, what control do we have over California and Seattle, Washington in particular, where a lot of these problems are being identified as coming from? Anyway, so last week we were having a great conversation with John Jackson, the Joker from X, and then we got a phone call from Jim Verhoff in Malta, who's got background in the trucking business, and that got me thinking, you know what, we should see if we can get somebody from Motor Carrier Services on the show here in Montana. And it's so great to have Eric Belford now with us. 29-year career in law enforcement, including 22 years in CMV enforcement. He is the division administrator for Motor Carrier Services here in Montana. And then, as I understand it, also is current president of the National Conference of State Transportation Specialists. Eric, an honor to have you on the show this morning. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thank you, Aaron. I appreciate the invitation and an opportunity to speak on behalf of the state.
Yeah. Before we get into the issue of, you know, non-English-speaking truck drivers and what you can do, what you can't do to help crack down on that issue, I guess just, you know, some of our listeners may not even know what Motor Carrier Services is or what you do. They'll see your vehicles with the lights on them on the interstate, and then they'll say, wait a minute, that's not Highway Patrol. Who is that, and what do they do?
Yeah, so what our officers do, it's important work. They're full-fledged law enforcement officers that attend a full law enforcement academy. They're out there policing the movement of commercial motor vehicles, so the large trucks, predominantly anything over 10,000 pounds that's moving in commerce. We actually have about 26 patrol officers located throughout different portions of the state, and then we also operate all the way stations as well.
It seems like, I don't know if I'm just noticing your vehicles more or if you've stepped up enforcement or stepped up your presence across Montana, but it seems like I've been noticing your vehicles a lot more across the state.
Yeah, you know, that's great to hear from my perspective. We there are certain areas that are getting a lot of focus in the state that we're trying to increase some enforcement activity on. Obviously U.S. 212, heavily traveled corridor through the state of Montana with a lot of commercial vehicles. So you're seeing an uptick in presence in those areas.
What are the biggest challenges facing your law enforcement personnel right now? I guess just talk about that and what are they seeing, and then talk a little bit about the capabilities that they have, who they can pull over, what they can do once they pull them over, or anything like that.
Yeah, so good question. They regulate anything over 10,000 pounds. So if it's in commerce over 10,000 pounds, our officers have the authority to stop that. Our primary focus is really protecting the lives of the traveling public. And a big part of that is our investment as a jurisdiction in our infrastructure. Obviously, we have 5,000 bridges across Montana. Many of them are wooden structures. If we impede or allow the deterioration of our infrastructure to deteriorate where they can't sustain the weights of the trucks that's moving commerce, it impacts all of us, at the register, our inflation rates, everything's impacted by the movement of commerce. So we're here to support the industry. We're obviously big fans of the industry, but we want to make sure what's being done is being done safely and responsibly.
3 minutes.
So that's always our challenge right there. And, you know, the one thing I always want to point out is by and large, the industry wants to do the right thing. They're trying to do the right thing, and it's up to us to make sure it's an equal level playing field for them to be able to compete in.
What was your reaction when you see the news of this, or I don't know if you watched the video, it was kind of the non-reaction of this driver that was just so shocking to people too. This illegal alien apparently got a commercial driver's license from the state of California, and then he's driving in Florida and just does this illegal U-turn from the far right side of the interstate and takes one of those emergency cut acrosses. And a minivan just slams right into the side of it, right? And the guy shows no reaction whatsoever. But and then apparently he can't even pass basic English proficiency questions when the subsequent investigation took place. What's your reaction when you see stuff like that?
Well, words can't describe it. I mean, it's gut-wrenching, devastating, and disappointing. The one thing I want people to understand out there is English language proficiency, we call it ELP, has been around. I've been in the commercial vehicle enforcement world since 1996, and it was around long before I started. It's always been a requirement to hold a CDL in the United States, and that's never went away. In fact, in 2005, the Commercial Vehicle Safety Alliance, they added that to the out-of-service criteria, so they felt it was important enough that these drivers be able to read and speak English, and especially read road signs, that if they couldn't, that it was going to be an out-of-service condition for a driver. In 2015, that was removed from the out-of-service criteria, and in fact, in 2016, it was really left to the jurisdictions to hire interpretive services. That was a guidance that the states were given from the FMCSA. If they could get an interpreter and they could communicate for the driver with the enforcement officer, it wouldn't even be a violation. So in recent events, of course, President Trump, he signed the executive order for enforcing common sense rules of the road for American truck drivers, which spawned some good conversation about ELP. And in fact, in May of 2025, CVSA once again approved to add that to the out-of-service criteria, which was a big shift back to the way it was done before, and I think is a safer way to go.
And so what you mean by that? Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say it didn't take effect until June 25th, and in Montana, in order for us to be able to enforce those, that has to be adopted under administrative rule. So we went through that process. It got approved on June 26th, the day after it took effect. And then as of June 27th, we've been enforcing that here in Montana.
That's great, because that's the word we heard from Jim in Malta, is he's like, no, they've got the authority to ground these truckers that can't meet the basic English language requirements here. And so that's reassuring that if your people see these drivers that maybe can't even understand the road signs and can't speak the language, you can ground them right then and there and basically take the keys away from these guys. How big would you say this issue of foreign truckers? Whether good or bad, how many foreign truckers or non-English speakers do you anticipate? Is there any way to quantify it? How big of an issue do you think this is in Montana, just as a result of all the out-of-state traffic flowing through?
Yeah, because of I-90 and I-15, we have foreign truck drivers traveling through Montana every day, all day long, and our officers, they're interacting with them. Is it a problem? What I can tell you is, as of June 27th, we've had 75 English language proficiency violations. 74 of those have been placed out of service. So we're averaging about one a day.
Just in the last 2 months.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's an issue. And like I said, we got the radar on it. We're not targeting foreign drivers. Obviously, a lot of these drivers, their primary language is not English, but if they could speak English and they're out there running safe and able to read road signs and converse with our officers, that's great. We're primarily just focusing on the ones that we run across in our normal activities that we do during the day. And then when we do find somebody that there's a problem, we conduct a test. And if they fail, we place them out of service.
What do you see the feds doing to step up enforcement or you know, launch investigations, et cetera?
I don't have any awareness of any of the federal activities here in Montana. I know it's certainly a big topic of discussion at that level. We have ongoing communication with the division administrator for the FMCSA out of Montana. And I know that their investigators that do the carrier audits are involved in this as well. But any type of stats or numbers that they're producing, I really don't have any of that right now.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, we got a couple minutes to go before we get to our next break, and I think you've got to run right around then. So what else would you want to tell people all across Montana? Eric Belford, Division Administrator for Motor Carrier Services here in the state.
Like I said, I want people to understand just how important the commercial vehicle industry is. It's important to all of us as consumers. And I want them to know that MCS is out there doing our best to regulate, make sure it's being done safely. There's obviously in Montana, we have a lot of great big loads moving through the state, so be aware of those. If you have any concerns, reach out to us. We always try and provide some type of follow-up and make sure that we're doing our due diligence for the citizens of this state.
Well, thanks for what you do. Thanks for your career in law enforcement and serving the state. And say a big thank you to your law enforcement officers out there for us as well.
Will do, and I appreciate your time today.
Yeah, let us know if you ever want to be back on the show, if you've got some urgent information to put out there. 20 seconds to go. What can we look for while we're out there on the roads? Do you guys take tips or anything like that?
Yeah, we take tips, and they come in a lot of forms. Obviously, dyed fuel. If you're not familiar with dyed fuel, that's untaxed fuel. That's an agricultural fuel, big in Montana and there for a good reason to support our agriculture. But our road taxes, go a long ways in not only building, but also maintaining our roads.
Make sure people aren't putting that in their traditional normal diesel vehicles. That's right. And I've seen check stations on that, kind of like the boat checks where you'll see the red dye checks. I think I saw one down near Arlie once. All right. Eric Belford, great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for your time. Greatly appreciated. Back right after this. Phone lines are open for you.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Earlier this week, we reported a human case of New World screwworm was reported by the Centers for Disease Control after being discovered earlier this month in a Maryland resident. Colin Woodall, CEO of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, says while it's something the cattle industry needs to monitor, the human case is not a risk to the U.S. cattle industry.
You know, from what we understand, it was an individual who had made a trip to one of the countries in Central America that has New World screwworm, which is all of the countries in Central America right now. Came back, had some pain, went to seek treatment, and discovered that they were infested with New World screwworm larvae. I think the key is that the CDC protocols work. They identified it. CDC is not a PR agency. I can't speak as to why they make the decisions of what they announce or don't announce, but we do know that the protocol worked and that individual was treated and the larvae were destroyed. And while, yes, it's surprising to see that particular story, you know, it's not shocking.
There's been human cases in the U.S. in 2024, 2023, and 2014. But at the end of the day, Woodall said the protocols for protecting humans and livestock from New World screwworm worked as intended.
I think for us, as we are taking a serious approach to protecting ourselves from New World screwworm, the things that we're looking at is, one, did the protocols work? And it's obvious that the protocols work.
Again, that was NCBA's Colin Woodall. I'm Lane Nord.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, a little inside baseball for you here. A little inside baseball here for you. Caden, since we're back on the radio now, I don't have time to send you a quick message. Caden, inside baseball, my VPN just seemed to cut out on me here for a second, so I think I might have lost Nancy and Roundup on the phone line. So if you can, I'll try to reconnect here. But if you want to, Caden, if you can still talk with Nancy, get her phone number for me, and then I will call her through my other remote kit here so that we can get her on the show. Because, yeah, we want to take your phone calls here. So sorry that my VPN just had a little quick disconnect there. Let's see. Looks like I might be reconnected now once again. All right, let me see. Actually, now that I'm reconnected, Nancy, are you there? Can you hear me, Nancy, or did we lose you? Okay, I think we lost her. All right, Nancy, try calling right back in, and if anything, I can we can figure out a way to get you on. I can have our producer Caden link you up, maybe forward you straight to my remote phone here or something like that. All right, in the meantime, while we get our callers back on the phone lines here, 406-294-0970, here is Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy. You know, we're talking about foreign truck drivers, illegal aliens on the roadways, can't even speak the language, can't even read the road signs. That's apparently the story out of this, you know, what happened in Florida. This illegal alien truck driver who got his commercial driver's license from California. Now, the Daily Wire has a piece out right now that just came out this morning. Three states could lose federal funding for defying President Trump's trucking mandate. What did we just hear from the division administrator? He says, look, he's had a, you know, almost 30 years career doing this type of stuff. There always was an English language proficiency requirement. That was the point Jim and Malta made last week. He says, this is the way it was always done. And then the Biden administration said, well, we're not going to really enforce the English language requirement. Trump comes in 2017. Goes back to the way things were. Biden comes in. Nah, we're not going to really enforce that thing again. And then look at what the carnage that's been playing out on our interstates and on some of our roadways here. Let's see. Okay, great. I got Nancy's number. I'll give her a ring here, Caden. And other callers, if you want to call in, I should be reconnected here. So you should be able to call our studio lines, 406-294-0970. In the meantime here, let's see. Yeah, here you go. This is Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy. I think he was on. Yeah, he was on with Laura Ingraham last night, and all this after that 3-hour-long cabinet meeting that he took part in with President Trump and the entire cabinet.
Obviously, this defendant could not speak English. We gave him a test after. Couldn't understand English, wasn't proficient, and couldn't understand road signs. He was pulled over for a speeding ticket before this crash in New Mexico. And he clearly couldn't speak the language, understand the language, or understand road signs. And they let him go. They didn't take him out of service. Had they taken him out of service, we may have three Americans that would still be
alive. Hey, Nancy, this is Aaron. I'll get you on the show here in just a second.
It's a requirement that when you get your CDL, you do have to take the test in English. And you also have a skills test. There's no way in hell
this guy
could have passed those tests but for some really shady behavior in California. So we are all in investigating, looking at this. And by the way, let Gavin come play, but he will regret the day he messes with DOT because, again, a lot of equities we have with California, not just with regard to pulling money, but other things.
All right, there we go. Yeah, that was Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy. Okay, looks like my phone lines are back up and running. Mike and Big Timber, stand by. We'll get to you here in just a second. But first, I think I've got Nancy and Roundup with us on the phone lines now. Nancy, thanks for calling in. Sorry for the snafu there.
Well, that's okay. This is really horrible. I'm not surprised that this is happening. When you've got open borders, you've got millions of people coming into the country. But what I disagree with your guest is that he said that they're not after all foreign drivers. Some of them can speak fairly well English and they're doing a good job driving. Well, I disagree with that because they're taking away Americans' jobs. I want only Americans, like we always had, truck drivers driving. And I don't understand this. Where are the Teamsters? Why haven't the union bosses protected the American truck drivers, their jobs? I mean, truckers pay dues to join these unions. Where are the Teamster union bosses? And like I said yesterday, I'm worried about our school buses because they're filled with children and they're everywhere. I see school buses on the expressways, and every day I pray to God that one of these foreign drivers doesn't slam into one of our school buses and kill all the children that are being transported. So I'm against any foreigners driving in our country, not just the state of Montana, nationwide. And I'm hoping that President Trump goes after Gavin Newsom. I'd like to see that guy in an orange jumpsuit behind bars because he's part of this problem, part of the murder and slaughter on our highways.
Well, not just Gavin Newsom. Yeah, Nancy, thanks for the call. Not just Gavin Newsom, but you've got New Mexico in here. You've got Washington State in here, which are openly defying this language proficiency requirement here. And New Mexico, again, New Mexico, which has now become a blue Democrat-run state, they basically have become, you know, they're so symbolic of the anarcho-tyranny that we see in America right now, where, you know, it's anarchy for, you know, illegal alien truck drivers that they support, but then it's tyranny for kids during COVID-19, where, you know, kids that lived on this side of the Texas-New Mexico border were stuck in, you know, masks and couldn't have school, couldn't have Friday Night Lights football, but if you were on the Texas side, you got to be free. And the suicide rates, the risk of suicide was way worse on the New Mexico side than it was on the Texas side. But that's what they're pushing, though, is anarcho-tyranny. Anarchy for the criminals and the illegal aliens, and tyranny for you. Let's see. Let's go to Mike in Big Timber on the phone lines. Mike, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Good morning, Aaron. The question I have is that Feller's, the motor carrier services folks, are they allowed to go into truck stops? Because the one in Big Timber on the West End, it's loaded with trucks through the night, and then, of course, they take off early in the morning. Are they allowed to go into truck stops and do their job or not?
That's a good question. My assumption is here. Now, maybe somebody else can weigh in, and if we still had the administrator on, he could answer it for us. But my assumption is that they would still have to have what's the word I'm thinking of from law enforcement, where you still have to have cause and justification for going in and pulling somebody over, or, you know, asking for their credentials, et cetera. That's my assumption. It may be an inaccurate assumption. I don't know. The other thing I wonder about, Mike, is, you know, John Jackson mentioned this last week on the show. The news broke while we were in the middle of the conversation that the Trump that ICE was going to start embedding their personnel into some of these weigh stations. So when these truckers come through the weigh stations where they have to give up their information, they could have a little conversation with ICE. In fact, that kind of ties in with, we got a message from a listener in Glendive that said this. This was from a listener in Glendive, messaged us on the app. Our weigh stations on Montana borders should check their abilities to read, speak, and the knowledge of Montana laws before they can enter Montana. So, yeah, your thoughts on that, Mike?
Well, there's a weigh station, and I don't know if it's still operating. It was right at Four Corners when you were heading down 191 toward West Yellowstone. I don't know if that weigh station is still in existence. But the major travel, as Nancy was saying, was on the expressways, on the freeways. And they're moving. These folks are moving. I mean, I'm doing 70 on the freeway, and these guys are going past me. And, you know, you look at the door, and it'll tell you, what state they're from or what the company is. And I agree. I'm just wondering if independent truckers, they'll obey the laws. They're very good. But I'm sure that these union folks, like Nancy said, they have to be held accountable for hiring these people also.
Yeah, and Secretary Duffy, Transportation Secretary, I played the audio, and sorry if I talked over that. I think I left my mic on it. Frank and Malta told me while I was playing that audio, but also trying to get our caller on the line. But, yeah, in a separate soundbite, he talked about how they are announcing enforcement actions against California, New Mexico, and Washington, like what I mentioned, taking away federal funding. Yeah, you guys want to make our roads less safe? Why should we, the people of Montana, be paying for your roads if you're deliberately making our roadways less safe. Mike, great to hear from you. Thanks for the phone call. Let's see. I think we've got another caller, Greg in Great Falls. Caden, yeah, go ahead and send that one to me. We'll get to Greg here right after the break. I see we got to take a break here. So, Greg in Great Falls, stand by. And we'll get to your phone call right after this. Yeah, in the meantime, you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. If you got a quick message you want to throw out there, or if you call in right now, we may be able to get to you before we run out of time this hour of the show. I think we got a, oh yeah, we got a busy show tomorrow as well. Our Thursday show is going to be huge tomorrow. We've got Everett Headley with SCI, Safari Club International. And then we've got Kyle Weaver, the CEO of the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, joining us tomorrow on the show as well, separate times.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Another guest in there. We had a great guest to join us at the top of the show till about 9:20. Another great guest join us till about 9:35. We almost scheduled another guest here for the second half, but we thought, you know what? We're probably going to get some great phone calls after this topic of foreign truckers comes up on the show. So we better keep the phone lines open. So that's exactly what we're doing. Dana in Livingston, stand by. We'll get to you next. First, we've got Greg in Great Falls listening to KINX. Greg, what's your thoughts? Thanks for calling in.
I think that the whole thing about the CDL should be applied across the board to people receiving driver's licenses.
Yeah, I think Montana, don't we have some requirements with even just your regular driver's license, let alone CDLs? Because, yeah, I mean, to your point, we just had a Honduran illegal alien slam into a Billings police. Although then again, he probably didn't even have any license whatsoever. I should probably check on that one. But yeah, Steven Ballantyne, one of our callers, he had a brand new trailer he was pulling around. 20 minutes after he picked up his brand new trailer, a non-English speaking person slammed into the back of his brand new trailer. Could you imagine that?
Oh, man. I'll tell you, it should be the bottom line to get a driver's license, then go to a CDL. I don't understand how this guy got by with having a CDL without having his driver's license, you know.
Well, yeah, and the CDL, getting a CDL these days is a lot harder than it used to be in most necks of the woods, right? But if you're in California, can't even read road signs, can't speak English, and apparently they just hand out CDLs like it's Halloween candy.
Yeah, one would think so, Aaron. I thank you for taking my call.
Well, I thank you for calling in. Great to hear from you. Yeah, to me, this is, yet again, it's another example of anarcho-tyranny. No rules for them, and tyranny for you. Yeah, how many times have we seen that, you know, that topic play out here? Deliberate. It's deliberate at this point, right? Especially if it's coming out of Gavin Newsom in California. All right, next up, we got Dana in Livingston. Dana, what's on your mind?
Yeah, hi. I was a Teamster. Let's see. I was an independent owner-operator. and I also scabbed and broke strikes for the Teamsters and down in Los Angeles like 40 years ago. Then I grew up. But I'll tell you what, there's no love lost between the Teamsters and the independent drivers. The Teamsters have always had a little a grudge against the owner-operators, because the owner-operators are free enough that they can handle jobs that the union companies would charge way, way, way too much. Like, you go down to the docks in Seattle or Oakland or Long Beach, you're going to wait. The biggest thing you're going to do is wait. The Teamsters, they can't pay for that. The unions have a stranglehold on those companies, and they've driven really great companies out of business. Consolidated Freightways, I don't know how Yellow Freightways seem to that remained, but Roadway was a big one. Anyway, they're gone. They're just gone.
You talk about the port.
These companies.
You talk about the ports and what? You talk about the ports in Washington State. I mean, again, anarcho tyranny. Why is it that our beautiful, clean Montana coal right now has to ship up to Canada to be sent out from a port there? Well, we all know why, right? Because these anarcho tyrannists in Washington State that want to flood our roadways with illegal aliens won't allow us to ship our beautiful, clean Montana coal, whether it's coming from the Crow Tribe or whether it's coming from Signal Peak or whatever. And, you know, thankfully, even though the Canadian government got a little wonky there for a little while, thankfully, our good friends in Japan said, Canada, we need that beautiful, clean coal. You keep it coming.
Well, the trucking industry is overregulated and overtaxed and overcharged. I used to have to go, when I was independent and crossing state lines, you got to stop at every port of entry, pay $100 or $200. I'm talking 40 years
just
ago.
Just nickel and dime you to death.
Now.
Overregulated, overtaxed, what was the third one you used there?
Well, fees.
Oh,
they call
yeah.
them fees for every kind of, if they spend half the damn money on the roads would be paved out of gold.
We'd look like Abu Dhabi. We'd be like Abu Dhabi, you know, when President Trump did his Middle Eastern tour. Yeah, Dana, great to hear from you. Thanks for the call. You know, yeah, overregulated, overtaxed, fees after fee after fee. That answers the question. See, one of my liberal friends, he's a railroader on the High Line, and it must be the theater influence that has him so far left these days. But anyway, he's like, well, we're short 80,000 truck drivers, so you know, don't we need these illegal alien non-English-speaking truck drivers? You know what? If our truck drivers weren't overregulated, overtaxed, slammed with fee after fee after fee after fee, maybe we wouldn't be short 80,000 truck drivers in the first place. But no, the typical leftist response is like, well, let's just make everything more dangerous. Let's just make everything more chaotic. But we'll keep all the regulations for you guys, for you owner-operator guys and everybody else doing things the right way. Now we're gonna put the screws to you, but all we need these illegal aliens is what they're saying. I mean, for Pete's sake, right? All right, great callers, great topics. Thanks so much for joining us. Yeah, big show tomorrow. We're going to touch into these outdoor issues with a couple of great guests. We got the CEO of the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation talking about actually a new program that they are teaming up on with the University of Montana, a pro hunting program at UM. That sounds cool to me. Don't screw it up, right? And then also Everett Headley. Saw him last week at the Western Congressional Caucus. He's with SCI. He'll be here, too.